From the north side, Lexus Traffic Desk, Salvia, go to watch out for on the West Park Tollway, westbound at Gessner, and another one on the north side, Houston Tollway, westbound at Veterans Memorial. That one's sitting on that right shoulder. 45 northbound at AirTech, style vehicle still sitting on that left shoulder. Mostly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 62, 57 degrees right now. From the Trailer Wheel and Frame Weather Desk, I'm Elia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
Former Texans Pro Bowl offensive lineman Wade Smith is joining us in studio in the 9 o'clock hour. The Texans have not been all that aggressive in free agency, only bringing in safety Tashawn Gibson from Jacksonville and also cornerback Bradley Roby from the Denver Broncos. Wade, you have a theory about Brian Gaim's timeline based on this lack of activity.
Yeah, I think that when you look at the Texans overall as a franchise and as a Texans fan, you look at it and you say, like, man, we've been dealing with the Texans having a poor offensive line over the past 5 years. We've never made it to the AFC Championship game. There's a lot of things that the organization has not accomplished. But if you're Brian Gaim, we don't know necessarily what was been discussed in the building as far as what his timeline is as far as going out and making those big free agent signings and making the big moves and making the big trades that we think that it's time for it to happen. And Brian Gaim, when he came out with his presser during the combine, he literally told us this is what he was going to do. He said that he was going to be selectively aggressive with what he was going to do in free agency. He was going to sign back his own guys. And so that's exactly what he's done to this point. And part of that could be because he does not have to deal with the fact that there's pressure on him to win now or to improve the team significantly right now. Because this is his first year. This is his first full offseason as a GM. Bill O'Brien just got a re-up on his contract. And so maybe we're looking at this differently. And if you're looking at it as a fan, you have to say, all right, you have to trust the process because Brian Gaim in the draft has shown that he's really good at drafting players. He's one for one right now as far as what he's done in the draft. And so you just have to kind of trust that he's going to come up with three or four starters out of this draft coming up in a few weeks.
I guess, and that's where it gets tricky, is judging a draft just after 1 year, because Martinez Rankin is such I don't want to say an extreme unknown. I very much see Martinez Rankin's upside, I'll personally make excuses for him based on the fact that he didn't have training camp. He was trying to learn on the fly last year. He played multiple positions. That's, I guess, the biggest wild card is, if Martinez Rankin had come in and just played well from the get-go, then I think I'd be much more likely to say, all right, you know what, Brian Gaim knows what he's doing. But that's just a wild card out there for me right now.
Well, Martinez Rankin is one example of somebody that, like you said, he's a rookie, just came in. He didn't have opportunity to practice in the preseason because he was injured, but he's shown flashes. But if you look at a guy like Justin Reed, he's a guy that came in and played really well as a rookie. That's a third-round draft pick. You see a guy like Kiki QT that came in. That guy, when he's on the field, he's a heck of a football player. And these are guys that Brian Gaim found later in the draft.
Yeah,
and
both rookie tight ends.
You know, both rookie tight ends, the two Jordans, both of those guys, you see a lot of promise in those guys. So you say, all right, Brian Gaim has a knack for picking up talent in the third through seventh rounds of draft. Imagine what he's going to do in the first two rounds when he's got four picks to choose. So the first three rounds, so he has four picks to choose. So I think that, you know, when I initially watching things happen, I'm like, man, come on, we missed out on Trent Brown. We got to get this guy. We got to do this. We got to do that, because I want to see the Texans win. You know what I mean? And I feel like this is the time to go all in, similar to maybe what Cleveland Browns are doing, but go all in while you have Deshaun Watson on a rookie deal. But my timeline, and maybe fans' timeline, and what the timeline that Brian Gaim and what they're doing over in the building, they seem like they're not on the same level.
Well, this is the thing that I can't wrap my mind around with this theory is, shouldn't Brian Gaim's timeline be the 2 years where Deshaun Watson is cheap? Based on what the Eagles have done, what the Rams have done, and now this offseason with the Jets and Browns are starting to do with their young quarterbacks, even Kansas City with Matthew to an extent with Mahomes on a rookie contract, shouldn't the timeline, based on the way other NFL teams operate, be the Deshaun Watson cheap window?
Well, I would say yes, but at the same time, not every team operates in that manner. You've seen examples of it done that way, and you've seen examples of it work, and you've seen examples of it where it worked for a little bit, but then it stopped working. You think about, like, the Seattle Seahawks. You know, they spent a lot of money early on, and then once they had to pay Russell Wilson, they had to let everybody go, and it worked for that one Super Bowl, but then now they've been kind of struggling since, and they're trying to get back on track again because they spent all that money. That's one way to look at it. But me, I look at it like, hey, if we win one Super Bowl, that pays for your political cachet for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 years. So let's go win now. That's just my mentality. Yeah. And just looking at it as a player, like, you don't want to necessarily wait. You want to, you want those guys to come in the building that's going to give you opportunity to win now, because tomorrow is not promised. And so that's just the kind of the part that you're frustrated with, and I'm frustrated with. But at the same time, I just don't think that we're on the same timeline personally as what they are over there on Kirby Drive.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's always been my feeling, is that, like, when the fan GM relationship is one of, like, almost, like, ideally the GM is like a good parent and the fans are children, like petulant children, which I am. Like, I feel myself, like, I want it now. I want everything now. I want my video games now. Right. I want a car when I'm 14. I want all these things. The parent has to be in the position of being withholding, and that's hard. You're going to be angry. Like, I am that petulant child. And the big question is always, okay, is my dad actually a good dad, or is he, I don't know, who's a bad dad? Who's a notoriously bad dad?
Frank from, Shameless.
Okay.
Frank, what is his last
name? Oh, yeah, Frank. Yeah, he sucks.
Is he a bad dad?
He's a terrible
dad. William H. Macy also might be a bad dad in real life, you know, being part of these schemes.
Is he Al Bundy? Is my dad Al Bundy?
Is Al Bundy a bad dad?
He was a pretty bad dad.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I thought he kept it real.
He was always there for his kids.
He's very honest.
Frankly, I was always shocked that he wasn't hitting on Christina Applegate. Like, he was that bad a dad that's what, like, I'll actually give him a pat on the head for saying, good job not hitting on your daughter.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Wade Smith is in with us on a Friday, the former Pro Bowl Texans offensive lineman. This team operating in a different way from most teams with a rookie contract quarterback is a possibility that terrifies me. I read what I consider to be some of the smartest football writers in the country. Like, I try to keep up with, you know, what people are saying about the league, the way teams are built, and the consensus appears to be that the most valuable asset you can have in the NFL today is a star quarterback on a really cheap contract. That is exactly what the Texans have, and these teams, specifically the Eagles, specifically the Rams, have taken almost full advantage of that. You have one Super Bowl between those teams and two Super Bowl trips in the last couple of years. The Texans acting like they're financially hamstrung is problematic for me, and I am skeptical as it relates to the offensive line specifically with this whole deal.
Well, you should feel that way, because the Texans haven't shown over the past 5 years that they could put an offensive line together that's going to improve, and they're going to progress throughout the years, and they're just going to have a successful product out there on the field. And what I worry about is, you know, like I was talking about before, about them going into the draft and getting, let's say they draft at number 23, they draft maybe a Cody Ford, and they draft like a Titus Howard in the second round. Who is the guy in the room that those first-round draft picks are going to go to and is going to teach them how to be a Pro Bowl or big-time perennial offensive lineman? They don't necessarily have those guys in the room. And so there's nothing that kind of is lending you to believe that they have them in the room. And so that's another reason why it makes you concerned and makes you like feel like why are we sitting on our hands here? At the same time, I really can't even come up with an excuse. It's just, you have to understand that it has to be that, because logically nothing else makes sense to me as to why they're operating the way they're operating. It's got to be that they feel like we're starting from scratch.
Right.
We're going to come up with our scheme. We're going to figure out who we are as a group, and we're going to build and go forward, because there's something to be said about having guys being together for an extended period of time, because that's something that the offensive line has not had over the years. They're always changing guys in and out. And maybe they're saying, okay, we like this group that we have, and so we're going to try to build with this offensive line.
Plus, let me make this case too, Mike. I think in the case of the Rams, for one, I'm going to be really intrigued and interested to see exactly what they are this year. But okay, let's say that you would do want to just make that one glorious push for that one Super Bowl, and if you do, it's all worth it. I think the hit rate on that is still relatively low. Like, you're buying a lottery ticket. And the other part of it is, I think that Jared Goff almost demands that kind of push like that. I think Deshaun Watson's upside is so much higher than Jared Goff's upside that I actually trust that the Texans could be more fiscally conservative and have more long-term success, because I think Deshaun Watson can be good for a long time. I'm not so sure Jared Goff is going to be an exceptional quarterback 3 or 4 years from now.
But my whole big thing is, like, what's the counter argument to just the general idea that, hey, in the NFL, if you have a good quarterback, he's really expensive.
Yeah.
The best that you can have is a quarterback who's cheap. The Texans have that.
The Texans have that that's cheap, but that doesn't... Okay, my argument is that that doesn't mean that because you have the money, you have to splurge and spend it instead of spending it over the course of time. Like this... I think you and I have a fundamental disagreement over how we look at the cap. Mine is that the cap rolls over from year to year, so that you can't be thinking about it as a year-by-year proposition. It's that you can afford to be more long-term centric because that cap space is good. Like, you can be afford to be conservative financially as long as you do, you know, spend. You know, the Patriots are spent off the cap. But if you look at, okay, let's look at the teams just from the championship games over the last several years that maybe haven't won a Super Bowl but have been there. Like, are these teams, that if the Steelers, did they do it by actually, by spending aggressively in one given year? They didn't. Did the Falcons do it by spending aggressively in one single year? They didn't. The Packers, similarly, did not. The Vikings, like, all these teams have had a lot of success without having this huge push in doing it when they have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't know how those teams did in relation to the cap.
They did it not in the fashion that you're talking about.
No, I agree. Here's what I'm saying. Like, you can obviously get to and win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who's paid a lot of money. But the consensus in the NFL appears to be right now, unless the consensus is wrong, is that when you have a quarterback who's good on one of these contracts, it is the biggest advantage that you can have in the league right now. The biggest advantage.
The only problem with that
Okay,
you want them to spend the money. They have to have the guys out there on the streets that they want to spend the money on that they think will fit into what they have going on. And so that's the only, like, you, in theory, you're supposed to spend that money on somebody.
Yes.
But if they don't see that there's a guy out there that they want to spend the money on, that's where you have the issue. And I guess that's, like, a guy like Trent Brown was not one of their type of guys, and that's why he's not here.
Well, let's go into that next. Okay, the Texans have Deshaun Watson cheap. That's obvious. You guys all know that. Which moves that were made this week across the NFL should the Texans have made or not made? We will debate next with Wade Smith in on Mad Radio.